Climate change is causing big problems to people who work on the land. As the government moves forwards towards setting its policy agenda for the next 4 years, farmers are pushing for more attention to be given to the effects of climate change. Sarah Martin reports.
Whether growing crops or raising livestock, extreme weather events caused by climate change are wreaking havoc on profitability as well as impacting mental health in communities faced with challenge after challenge. Farmer Peter Holding says climate change is having a significant impact on his business.
We've lost half a tonne of wheat yield, probably lost about a quarter of a tonne of canola yield. If it's dry and the grass doesn't grow, you've got to knock your stocking rate back. So, yeah, it's definitely having an impact, and it depends on the season as to how bad that impact will be.
What are the things that you would like to see government putting in place so that conditions are better for you?
My view on the matter is that what came out of Paris was reasonable. I think a market-based system to put a price on carbon is absolutely essential around the world, and it seems to be going ahead in other countries but not happening here. I think we saw under the Labor government the impact of a carbon price in that it lowered CO2 emissions and cut back on fossil fuel use in electricity. I think that would also help develop other industries in the renewable energy field. So there's benefits there for work. These are long-term plans, but if we don't really get serious about it, my view is I think we're going to see some serious climate change effects by 2020, not 2030. I think it's happening faster. So that's 4 years away. So we haven't got that much time left to muck about with, you know, crazy policies that are just about getting yourself elected rather than what's good for the country.
What would you like done about it?
There's many things the government could do. I mean, I think they ought to immediately return the funding to the CSIRO so that the climate scientists can continue their work and inform us of what is possible and what might not be possible. If we're just talking agriculture for a moment, the white paper on agriculture fails to engage in the climate change debate much at all, if at anything. I think the drought policy is pretty limited. I think it's fairly obvious that the loans, whilst they are useful for some, haven't been taken up greatly because the people in droughts really don't have the capacity to expand their debt. And not to mention that you then have to go and talk to your bank about going back to your bank in 5 years' time. And, you know, from a competitive commercial point of view, they might not be so happy. And there's a lot of areas that, until they take climate change seriously, their policies are going to be deficient in a major impact. We just saw an election where some of what I would regard as more extreme candidates got up, especially in drought-affected areas in Queensland. I would see that as a response to those people feeling that they're being ignored. I think that's a logical response on their behalf. But I think the major parties need to look at that and start taking them seriously and doing things. Drought areas around Queensland, before the election, Barnaby Joyce's Ag Department cut the mental health facilitators. Now, I just don't understand how they can be that narrow in their view of what's happening out there.
It is taking a toll, isn't it, on communities in those areas of mental health?
I've lived through a few droughts. They're pretty savvy. They knock around your business. I mean, a drought basically is a financial problem. And towns, communities get to the point where they're just barely surviving, and that's why people say, you know, farming communities have got a lot of resilience. But the problem with that is when you break that resilience, they tend to go down really quick, you know, and you get unfortunate suicides and people leaving the community and all sorts of things happen that are pretty much irreversible. So I think the mental health funding is absolutely critical. I think it's more important than pretending that you've got some rural bank going or something.
Charlie Prell is a fourth-generation farmer and the New South Wales organiser for Australian Wind Alliance. He's been trying to put wind turbines on his land for 15 years.
There's no cognizant policy from the National Party or anybody else to implement a strategic transition to a renewable energy future, which inherently involves wind turbines in Australia because we have the best wind resource in the world.
Does the adoption of renewable energy like wind turbines work on a couple of levels, to move away from coal-fired sources of power, but also to offer an opportunity for a new economy for farmers?
Exactly that. Inherently, renewable energy will be diversified. and by far most of the development will be in the regions of Australia which desperately need a significant economic boost. Agriculture can't do that because even with current commodity prices as high as they are, agriculture is still a pretty marginal business in Australia. With the new income from turbines, particularly during construction, but also long-term, there's an opportunity to reinvigorate and redefine the economic base of regional Australia through supplementing and supporting farmers, giving them the opportunity to have some cash in their pockets to spend in local economies, and also giving the local small businesses the opportunity to participate in this renewable energy boom, which will come. It'll just be a matter of when.
Charlie Prell, fourth-generation farmer and the New South Wales organiser for the Australian Wind Alliance. Ending that report by Sarah Martin.